Thank you, Jimmy. Good afternoon, first of all, and welcome to Midweek in Mayfair. Do feel free to keep the passage there open in front of us on the handout, and there's a little outline as well to take us through as we hear what God speaks to us today through these words. Now, I guess many of us, and particularly this week, I guess, are looking forward to summer holidays. And finally, we might get to get out of London and enjoy the heat elsewhere. But I guess a few of us, not many of us, if any, are considering visiting the Valhalla Memorial. The Valhalla Memorial, excuse my German pronunciation, this is a giant sort of building in South Germany. And what is in there? Well, there are statues. It is a hall of fame, statues and busts, the head and shoulders of famous Germans throughout the ages. And as you walk through, you can't help but be inspired by their Germanness, by how incredibly German they are. You have the genius of Beethoven, you have the command of Catherine the Great, you have the grit and determination of Martin Luther as you walk through this hall of fame. And we're inspired. Germans are inspired to follow in their footsteps. Well, our passage today is very similar. Not so much a hall of fame, well it is, but a hall of faith. These are men and women spanning the centuries, the generations, with their lives on display for us. And there is one thing that unites these people. It's not their Germanic roots. It's a word that comes up 27 times in this chapter. It's their faith. Their faith. It's then their faith that we see and which we are inspired to imitate. And it's their faith which Christians share. If we were to go back to the end of the previous passage we looked at last week, it ends by saying that we are people of faith. And we Christians, if we are here today Christian, we are faith people. And this passage is double-clicking on that word faith. What is faith? Let's zoom in on that. What is faith? And we see these giants in the hall of faith, and then we are inspired to copy their faith. What is faith? This passage tells us. And I'd love to suggest that for all of us, no matter who we are today, this is exactly what we need to hear. Because people often get a bit confused about what faith is. I guess in Mayfair, if we asked around with a microphone on a normal day, what is faith? I guess we'd get a range of different answers, wouldn't we? Some might say, you know, faith is being generally sort of an optimistic kind of person. You've got to have faith. Is it George Michael who sings that? Got to have faith, he says. Just, you know, look on the bright side. Or faith might be a bit like the Indiana Jones movie where he sort of closes his eyes and has to sort of jump into the dark with no sort of evidence or reason to do it. And, you know, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm just going to trust blindly. Is that what faith is? People might say so. People might think that faith is just for certain kinds of people. She's a faith person, but, you know, I'm not. I could never be a faith person. That's not me. Faith is a thing that you're sort of born with. Well, this passage brings intense clarity to us and to Hebrews' first readers as we all try and figure out together, what is faith, really? Let's start the passage. Our headline for today is the first two verses, and the rest of the passage expands it. Let's see the first verse. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the people of old received their commendation. This is the headline, and the rest of the passage unpacks it, so that we would have the faith that they do. First heading for today, and with what God is saying to us. And faith is being convinced of things unseen, things that we can't see. And let's see this faith in action, and let's start at the beginning of our walk of our hall of faith. And then, surprisingly, the first in line in the corridor, well, it's us. We're in the hall of faith, it says in verse 3. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. We believe, if we're Christian here today, we trust something is real and that we cannot see. And that is faith. We Christians, we believe that, I guess a long, long time ago, the universe didn't exist. What was there? No light, no time, no space, no nothing. And then we believe, and God spoke, and let there be light. And there was light. And through God's words came physics, chemistry, biology, psychology, sociology, whatever. Everything that we take and we see now and we can touch and taste came from something we can't see. God's words. And why do we believe that? God tells us. That's what happened in Genesis. And trusting that God is telling the truth, even though we can't see it, that is faith. And at this point, someone might think, sure, Harry, okay, some people, those people over there, they can be faith people, but not me. That is not who I am. Some people believe in things they can't see, but I could never be that person. No way, not me. I'm a science, I'm a solid, rock-solid kind of person, concrete kind of guy, not a faithy whatever person over there. Basically, I'd love to suggest sort of warmly that I'm not sure that's entirely true. For most people, I think actually most of us do believe in things that we can't see, whether that's God or not. For example, I'd say everyone on the planet, basically every day, lives we believe things that we can't see, such as we believe and live in line with human rights. Human rights we can't see, we can't taste, we can't touch. We believe they exist. We believe that love is better than hate. We believe that progress is good. We believe that good and evil exist. We believe the universe came from somewhere. And these are all things that we can't see. Everyone, no matter whether they call themselves Christians or not, I would suggest that we all live based on things that we cannot see. We all believe that unseen things are real. We are all, then, people of faith. And so I guess the uniquely Christian thing here today is, what is the thing that we believe? What is the thing that we trust? And the Christian thing is, we trust what God says. That's what is real. Faith is being convinced of things that we can't see. And here, that's that God's words made the universe. Okay, and we're going to see this a little bit further, a little bit more concretely in the life of Noah. Noah's coming up next. We may well know his story. Let's see in verse 7 what Noah got up to, how he showed his faith. By faith, verse 7, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Noah, Christians believe, a man who lived centuries ago, gets told by God there's going to be a huge flood is going to come and wipe out everything on the face of the earth. And there's going to be a new world on the other side of this sort of devastation. What can Noah see? Well, he can't see the flood. He can't see this new world on the other side. And yet, he trusts that it's real. God said it, so it's real. That is what faith is. And his conviction is made concrete as Noah acts on his faith and he builds the ark. The hammer and the nails get going and he spends his time building this boat, which must have looked absolutely ridiculous. Poor Noah. He lived his life based on invisible things. He trusted are real. And we might have heard of Corrie ten Boom, The Hiding Place. She was a victim of horrible sort of Nazi war machines. She ended up in a concentration camp. And all around her, what she could see with her eyes was devastation and destruction and pure evil. But she believed in a good God that she could not see. And she writes, she says that faith is a bit like radar on a ship. Imagine we're on a ship and the fog comes down low and you can just about see your hand in front of your face and nothing else. You can't see anything at all, just a hand in front of your face. And there's one thing that you can see, and that's the radar screen. Beep, beep, beep. And on the radar screen you can see rocks over here, another ship over here, something coming towards us. Beep, beep. Things you can see, not with your eyes alone, but with the radar screen. Are these things real? Yes. Can you see them with your eyes? No. Faith is like the radar screen for a boat. Beep. It shows things that you can't see, things that are really real. And faith trusts that that's true and lives a life based on it. I guess thinking about us and our day-to-day lives as we're walking through Mayfair and heading to work, going home, hanging out with families, all the rest of it, this is hard, isn't it? It's hard to live this way because there are lots of things that we can see. What are things that we can see that we might live our life on, based on? A bank balance, a solid house made of bricks, nice holidays, champagne, job titles on LinkedIn, things that you can see, and we can touch, and we can taste. We can't see God's promises, can we? Sins forgiven, eternal life. Faith means that we trust that there really is more than our eyes can see. And so we live by faith and not by sight. And as we do so, our conviction, just like Noah, is made concrete. Okay, we're going to move on. We're going to move on to the next part of the Hall of Faith. And this idea is sort of going to become even more clear about what's going on here. And what is faith? We've seen it's being convinced of things that we can't see. They are really real. And the next thing we're going to see is that it's about being sure of things that we hope for. What is faith? It's being sure of things that we hope for. We trust that promised things really are coming, even though we haven't received them yet. For this, we move down the corridor of the Hall of Faith, and we're going to look at Abraham's life. Abraham, this is in verse 8. And by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. And by faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs of the same promise. So you might remember this from back in the Bible. God says to Abraham, Abraham, pack your bags, get the removal van in, you're going to a faraway land, and I'm going to give you this land for your people, go. So Abraham says, okay, I'm going to go. Get up and go. I've got no idea where I'm going. I've got no idea where this place is going to be. He spends his whole life on a camping trip with his family, living in tents, moving around. And it's because of this, he's living a life of faith, trusting that there are things that he hasn't yet received, things that he's hoping for. It's the English language is unfortunate, because in English, when we say the word hope, it normally means something that's sort of uncertain, I guess. So in English we might say, I hope, what's going on at the moment, I hope England will win the World Cup. Probably unlikely, let's all be honest. I hope it's coming home, who knows, let's find out. I hope my investments come through, maybe, maybe not. I hope the central line will be running today, could be 50-50, who knows. I mean, we hope things, don't we, in English. But in the Bible, the hope is rock solid. I'm concrete. You are absolutely, certainly getting it one day. I guess we might say in the depths of winter, I hope, I have a hope. The days are going to get longer. Summer is coming soon. And it does. Hope in the Bible is certain, a certain thing that is coming. And Abraham had a future hope. He was going to live in a city with God. This will come, certainly. He's just got to wait for it. Trusting that is faith. And the same is true for Sarah. We have Sarah here. She waited for her son. Even though she was so old, the son came. And things that she hadn't received yet, she hoped for. This is the point. And this is the point of what this passage is making. And God's promises are future. We pause to reflect on this in verse 13. It takes a bit of a deviation. It's like, okay, stop the Hall of Faith for now. Let's take a little sidetrack. I'm just going to sort of give you a brief. This is what's going on, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they're seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they'd gone out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. This is how it's always been. Faith is being sure of things hoped for that we haven't received yet. We see that concretely in these people's lives. And I think this is no more true of when there's an obstacle between us and the things we're going to receive. And that obstacle seems insurmountable. And that obstacle is death. Now, imagine if someone promised us something, let's say... a housemate, we're sort of working out a deal, and he says he's going to return our phone charger, and how long would we be sort of hopeful and wait for that phone charger to come back? I guess 1 or 2 days, and then after that they've probably lost it, haven't they? Let's say a friend says, I'm going to invite you to the pub, or I'm going to invite you on holiday. How long would we be hopeful they're going to pull through and do what they say? A few weeks, a few years maybe. A family member, if they promise something, we might wait a few decades for something. But what if we were on our deathbed, our dying breaths, and we still haven't received what God has promised? What then? Well, this is faith. And this is the kind of faith that this passage is talking about. And the faith of being so sure that we will receive things that we hope for, even if there's an obstacle in the way, and that obstacle is death. And verse 22, let's just land here with Joseph. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, he's on his deathbed, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave direction concerning his bones. Joseph, he was put into in the Old Testament, he was second in command over Egypt next to the Pharaoh. I'm doing all the business deals, I imagine, in today's terms, head of markets, head of mergers and acquisitions, prime minister. This guy has got all the job titles, he's collected them all. This guy has made it. And yet, even him, on his deathbed, he's showing faith. I'm trusting there's still better things to come that God hasn't given me yet. Even in my dying breaths, the exodus, new life to his dead bones, beyond the grave. This is Christian faith, isn't it? And these all died in faith, not having received the faith promise, not having received the things promised. This is Christian faith. And as you see people live lives based on trusting these things that we can't see, things that we're hoping for, it's made concrete. It's made concrete. And I guess for us, as we trust in Jesus, he has made us beautiful promises too, hasn't he? Jesus has died and Jesus has risen. He is Lord to give us new life. A brand new, eternal, incredible life in a new world which is so much better than this world. That will even come, quite possibly, after we die. We haven't received it yet. A bit like Joseph, he's standing there. He is the Prime Minister and the Director of Mergers and Acquisitions and the Director of Markets. And whatever Mayfair has to offer us, Joseph trusted that God's promises were better, and we trust that God's promises are better. There is better things to come, even if it's on the other side of our death. And so I guess as we go about our lives, I'm 9 to 5, back at home too, and we live lives showing that this is true. Yes, I do believe there's things that I can't see. Yes, I do believe that God will give me things that I haven't yet received. This is the Christian faith. This is what faith looks like. Actually, for people who've been here for the whole sort of sweep of Hebrews, I'd love to direct your attention. There's a little sort of, I guess, timeline of Hebrews at the bottom of our handout here. It says, this is basically where Hebrews has gone from and where Hebrews has ended up now. Back, you might remember a while ago now, Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, there's a real picture of sort of anti-faith, and no faith, and the wilderness, and people walking in the wilderness who didn't trust God, and they died. Since then in Hebrews, it's a consistent argument. We've been talking about how amazing Jesus is, this new priest, how he's given us a brand new heart. We can believe him. We are people of faith, he says. Now, this is what faith looks like. The positive example in Hebrews. This is what God commends. God loves this kind of faith. All through this section, we're going to see it again next week. God, every time, is giving them this rubber stamp of approval. Yes, yes, that is the faith that I love. Well done, these people. Going back to our headline. This is what faith is. And faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the people of old received their commendation. God says, yes, well done. This kind of faith is what I love. So what have you seen? Well, faith is not sort of a vague positivity. You've got to have faith, says George Michael. Nor is it sort of a leap in the dark. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. I'm just going to just do something and trust, and that's faith. Nor is it. That person is a faith person and not me. Faith is. God said this thing. I trust it's true. So I guess as we return to our desks this afternoon in the air conditioning, I guess I'm just like these people. Faith will be shaping absolutely everything that we do, everything that we're thinking. We are living a life based on these things that we can't see, that we haven't received, and affecting how we use our paycheck when we get home, how we use our spare time, how we talk to our families, how we talk to our colleagues at the social Thursday night drinks at the pub. And we remember, we're walking through the hall of faith, and we live lives inspired by their faith. Lives to which God says, yes, well done. That is what I love. Let's pray together as we close. Let's pray. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. And Father, we thank you so much for this picture of faith. We pray that we would live lives of this kind of faith, trusting in things we can't see, trusting in things that are coming that we haven't yet received. Amen. I think we have time for Q&A. Is that right, Jimmy?
Yeah.